at the fourth floor at CCD in Dublin Worldcon. I'm here with a very nice man, acquaintance from yesterday. It was late evening, we were waiting for a bus in the same direction. Andy Chamberlain from Cambridge. Andy, welcome to the Galactic Imaginarium.
Hi Darius, well thank you for having me. It's good to be here.
We've discovered, both of us, that we are also podcasters and authors. So let's begin with the author's thing. So you are an author, you had a book published?
Yes, so there's a couple of books that I think would be of interest to the people that listen to your podcast. So one of the books I published about 18 months ago was the Creative Writers Toolbelt Handbook. And the Creative Writers Toolbelt is a podcast that I run. We can talk about that in a moment, I guess. But what I did when I got to 100 episodes, I took all the very best bits of advice that my guests had given me and I distilled it into one book. And that's the Creative Writers Toolbelt Handbook. So that's the very best bits of advice and insight. And for all kinds of writers, it doesn't matter what genre you're writing in. It could be fiction or nonfiction. So there's that book. And more recently, I've also published a novel called The Centauri Survivors, which is a first contact novel. I've been working on it for nearly 10 years, which is far too long probably to be working on a novel. But I've had lots of other projects on the go, and I've just managed to get that published recently.
So you are involved with creative writing.
Yes.
How come?
I think writers are born rather than made. So I think when I interview my guests who are writers, I say to them, so how did you get into writing? How did you start? And invariably they'll talk about just they read some great books when they were a kid and then they started writing. Nobody made them do it. It's just something that is instinctive. And I think for most writers, that's the way it is. So for me, I was writing stuff when I was a kid and I enjoyed writing. And at times in my life, I've gone away from it and because I've been busy doing other stuff, but then I've always come back to it. So I think it's there. It's there in most writers from the beginning.
I will come back a little bit, some three steps behind, and ask you what I had to ask you from the beginning. What's your professional background?
I've done a lot of different things, actually. So after I left college, I worked in a bank. I did that for a few years. I worked in marketing in the bank. I've worked in a marketing consultancy companies. I've worked in a pub, so I've been a bartender. I have been a church pastor. I did that for several years. And I currently work for the University of Cambridge in their exams division.
In what department?
So they have a bit of their whole organisation, Cambridge Assessment as it's called, looks at English and teaching English to other people. So I'm in that bit of it.
Okay, so creative writing is, I think, a small niche. What's your comment about it?
Well, it's not the day job for me. So in that sense, you're right. It's a small niche. And I think for a lot of writers, writing is not something that is paying the money, you know, putting food on the table and paying the bills for them. So I guess am a part, I could call myself a part-time professional writer. And I would include in that both my own writing and the podcast work that I do, which I really enjoy doing. So maybe one day I will do it full time, and a happy day that will be. But until then, I have to go out and do the 9 to 5 as well.
How old is the podcast?
It's just over 5 years, about 5.5 years old now. So I started at the beginning of 2014. And I started it because I genuinely did not intend to do a podcast or start one. And I was getting back into my writing and I was looking for podcasts which gave practical, accessible advice for writers. And there were one or two of them. I mean, there are some brilliant podcasts out there. But when I looked at it, I couldn't quite find. Well, I did find one and the guy did about 12 episodes and stopped. So I thought, I'm going to have to do my own podcast. And I thought, if I can take a subject and master it in my head sufficiently well, that I can explain it to other people, then that might be a good thing. I'll learn something, maybe other people will learn something. So that's how I started.
What's the structure of an episode?
So there's two formats for the episode. Either it's just me talking about a subject, so I might pick like point of view, or I don't know, some aspect of grammar or punctuation either, or something like that, or the passive voice or whatever it is. And I'll talk for about 15, 20 minutes and say, here's the issue. This is how I think it works. And I will always try and give examples from literature. So I try to back up whatever I'm saying with practical examples. That's one format. The other format is to have a guest on. So I will often interview authors, agents, sometimes editors. And those are a bit longer. They tend to be between half an hour and 50 minutes. And I'll just talk to this person about their life and about their work and ask them for their advice and insight for writers as well.
What's the frequency of your podcast?
So it isn't a fixed thing. Sometimes, and really I've decided that at the moment that I'm just going to release an episode when I've got round to producing one. Sometimes that's dependent on when there are guests available, when I book times to talk to them. Sometimes it's just how busy I am with other stuff. So it's probably, if I had to say roughly, it would probably be like two episodes a month, something like that.
What's the best memory related to the podcast?
So probably my best memory is a podcast I did on a subject called Writing the Other. And Writing the Other means, how do we as writers write about somebody who is completely not like us? So they could be different gender, different race, different sexuality, different. And I interviewed two people who were completely different from me. And we talked about how you write the other. And they were quite knowledgeable on this subject. And we had a great conversation. And what I loved about that episode was that it worked. So I talked to the two of them and we got some good information out. And I learned something, and I had other people feedback to my listeners saying, that's a great episode, well done. So, you know, if I learn something and other people learn something, then I'm very happy because I've achieved my objective.
What was the most difficult problem that you overcame during the podcast?
Probably, and this has happened more than once, and it's terrible when it happens. So there have been occasions where I've talked to somebody, I've done a great episode, it's been really good, it's all worked well, great chat, and then I find that for some reason my recording equipment hasn't worked. So I'll talk to somebody and it's taken me time to book them and they're busy and all this. I talk to them for an hour and I haven't got any of it. And I have to go back to them and apologize profoundly and say, I'm really sorry, it didn't record, can we do it again? And actually, and that has happened two or three times now. Every time, the people I've asked have been very gracious and have said, yes, let's do it again. But it's just terrible. I just hate it when that happens, when the tech lets me down.
Yes. So the next questions are all about the things behind the curtain, as I'm also a podcaster. And I would like to ask you, what's your technical setup for podcasting?
It's not very complicated. I have a computer. I have an Apple Mac that I use. I have a microphone, a Blue Yeti microphone. And I use a bit of software called Audacity, which is free. Fantastic. And it does the job. So that's really the sum of my technical software. I use a podcast host, so a company that hosts my podcast. That's the bit that really costs the money.
A name?
I use Podomatic, but there are other companies out there, and so they have a server and they have all my podcasts on there and they distribute it to iTunes and other. So my podcast, probably like your one, is available pretty much on any of the kind of usual podcast providers.
Okay. And do you have a backup setting, as I should have been now, but we are only recording on one device?
I do now, because recently we had a little bit of a situation in terms of the podcasts weren't downloadable So we had a, I won't go into all the details, we had a bit of a technical glitch. So when that happened, I'd got most of my podcasts already saved somewhere else. So I've gathered them all together and I'm hanging on to them as a separate copy of them, just in case the whole thing goes horribly wrong.
So back to your writing. Why did it take so long to write your novel?
That's a great question. And it was a question that I actually posed in a recent episode. The answers are, well, one particular answer is because I made a mistake, which I would have advised people in my podcast not to do, which is when I started the first draft of the novel, I got about 20,000 words in, and then I stopped and I got somebody to look at those 20,000 words. Shouldn't have done that. I now believe, and I think this is generally accepted as good advice, when you start your work, you power through the first draft, you get the whole thing done. And yes, it's not going to be very good. It doesn't matter. Get it done is absolutely the rule. So now that because I didn't do that, I kind of stalled in terms of the work on the novel, and it took me a few months to get going again. Other reasons, life is busy. Stuff happens. I had other writing projects as well that I wanted to do. Doing the podcast, some of my free time just got absorbed in doing that podcast. I think probably as well there was quite a bit of research that I needed to do for the book. So as I said, it's a first contact novel. It's about visiting an exoplanet. So there was some research around transportation to other planets. There was research around what another planet, just trying to work out what another planet would be like. So the flora and the fauna and the geology. And actually, you know, slight spoiler alert, there is intelligent life on this planet. So how does that intelligent life work? How does the culture work? How does the climate work? How does all these things interact with each other? It all takes a long time to work out. 10 years. There you go.
Why this subject and not another?
Do you mean why first contact? So about 10 years ago, the subject of exoplanets, so planets that are not in our solar system, became more popular, and mainly because up until the sort of around that time, the number of exoplanets that had been discovered was very small, and then there was just an explosion. It's an incredibly exciting branch of astronomy at the moment. There's about 4,000 exoplanets that have been discovered, and it became just a topic that was inspirational, I think. And I heard about this, I thought, wow, well, that's a great context for a story. And so that was the spark that made me think, okay, so how would that work? Maybe we'd go and visit that planet. We go to that planet. How does that work? What's good about that? Where would it go wrong? What kind of people? And it grew from there.
And now, from the publishing side, how did you manage to get published with this novel?
So I published it myself. So I self-published it. I could have sent it out to agents, certainly, but I decided that I wanted to publish it myself. Even if I had been successful in sending it to an agent, it would then have been another 1 or 2 years before it came out, and I just wanted to get it out there, and I felt I had enough technical knowledge and marketing knowledge to create the thing, publish it, and give it some profile. So it was self-published. I did that through KDP, which is Amazon's self-publishing platform. I am intending to use another distributor called Ingram Spark as well. They're a global book distributor, so they will supply to bookshops, and bookshops will take a book from them where they don't take from Amazon. So those are the two, without going into too much detail, those are the two kind of main distributors of books. So that's how I got it out there.
Please give 3 tips for unpublished authors who want to be self-published.
3 tips. Tip 1 is get your mental attitude right. And by that I mean specifically, if you really want to write, you accept that you want to do that, that it's going to be hard work, that there will be challenges on your time. Almost everybody I know has a real challenge in terms of they have family, they have work, they have other stuff that goes on. And so it will be hard work to get your book done if you want to do it, but you just make that decision that you're going to do that. So there's and I guess connected to that, you give yourself permission to write, and you give yourself permission to publish that book and to get it out there. So you believe in it. The second thing I would say is get the book as good as you can. So I was on a panel this morning. We were talking about self-publishing, and I think this is true whether you're self-publishing or you're working through going the traditionally published route. It's so important for authors to be able to talk about their work in a positive way now. And the best way, I think, to do that is to really get your book as good as it can be, so that you, the author, feel able to stand up and talk about it and be enthused about it and say positive things about your work. The third tip I would say is possibly related to the second. Be prepared to spend a little bit of money on two key areas with your book. One is editorial, and the second is the cover. So by editorial, there's different types, again, without going into too much detail, there's different types of editing. Get your book edited well. Get the structural edit done properly. Get the copy editing done properly. Get the content in as good a shape as possible. And if you've got some money left over, spend something on getting a decent cover. Think about the cover in the genre you're writing. Think about the way that cover will look, not just when on the a book the size it is, but when it's on a screen. Very often when a book is presented on a computer screen, it's tiny, it's very small. If you think about the way you look at books on Amazon, for example, they're quite small on the screen. So your cover has to work at that smaller dimension. So that's my three tips. I've got lots of others, but that would be three.
Do you market the book yourself? And if it's a positive answer, give us some tools.
Yes, I do. So I, in part, market it through my podcast. So I will sometimes, not too much, sometimes I'll talk about my book. I have more recently because it's just been published. So that's a way in which I can communicate with people who may be interested in buying it. The other ways in which I market it are, I will pick perhaps two social media platforms, and I would encourage authors who want to market their work to use social media, but don't use too many platforms, because you could spend all your life. So generally, with the advice I've heard, which I follow, is find two platforms that you like. It could be, I don't know, Twitter and Facebook, or it could be Instagram and WhatsApp, or whatever. It doesn't really matter, whatever you feel comfortable, and wherever you feel like being social, go and use that platform and talk about your book. The other thing I have, which I have used and which is really very useful but is quite old school, is an email list. So email's been around for a long time, but the great thing about an email list is if you have an email list, it's your list. Nobody can take it away from you. You don't need anybody's permission to use it. You can talk directly to your customers, your readers, using that list. So the really successful independent authors work to build their list.
Yes, but for you it's rather easy. You use your podcast to harvest emails. What are the other methods of harvesting emails?
So the other way you can get emails is to offer something to people. So you can get it. You can. I guess the way that springs to mind first is you set up a website. You offer something on that website, a first chapter, a short story, something. It's what would be termed a reader magnet. And you offer that to people. They give you their email address. They sign up for your newsletter and to hear about you. You give them something back. You give them that first chapter. You give them a short story. You've then got their email address.
Do you have any plans to develop your podcast in certain ways?
I did have, and I would have if I had more time. So if I had more time, I'd probably develop it into a YouTube channel as well. But doing a podcast, as you probably know, doing a podcast takes time. Doing a YouTube channel takes even more time. So that would be a way in which I would develop it. But in terms of the content, I probably wouldn't change it very much now, because it's doing a particular job, and I wanted to just carry on doing that job. The only thing I've changed with the way I do it in the last 5 years now is I used to just say it's practical, accessible advice. I now say it is practical, accessible advice and encouragement, because I think it's really important for authors to receive and take to heart encouragement with their work.
Do you have any book on your author's desk?
Yes. Well, I have books that I have used and referred to. So Stephen King's book on writing, I find very useful. Some very practical stuff in there. And then, you know, the guy has sold like 500 million copies, so he's got something to say about it. What's the other book? There is another book by a guy called Sol Stein. It'll come to me in a moment.
Yes.
It'll come to me. Yes. But it's really good. I've learned some great things with that book. There's the Stephen King book, and there's also a book called On Writing, or Stein on Writing, by Sol Stein. I would say those two are really good. Those two particular books. There's lots of other books that have got snippets of useful information in them, and there may be some very genre specific stuff. So if you're writing memoir or you're writing romance, there may well be books that you can look at which are very good on that particular genre. But the two I've mentioned would be the ones that would be on my desk.
Are you working on another novel?
I should be, and I find that it's really odd, this, because a lot of my writing friends have got loads of ideas, and they've got like they've got five ideas on the go, and they want to write loads of stuff, and I haven't got a very specific thing that I want to do. Probably a sequel to my novel that I've just released is what I would do next, I think. In terms of writing new material, that's where I'd go.
I think, if I'm not wrong, you had or will have several panels here at WorldCon. Please talk about this.
So there are three specific things I'm doing here. The one I did today was on self-publishing and being an indie author, which was this morning, which is really good. So we're talking about the resources that are out there for independent authors, for hybrid authors, so people who are publishing independently on their own and they have a regular traditional contract. There's more and more authors going that route now. So I did a panel on that. I have got not so much a panel, but a teaching session with the kids stream. So I'm doing something with the 9 to 13 year olds on writing. So kids that want to learn how to write, we're going to do some of the sort of basic, lots of fun, lots of activities, some basics around creative writing. I'm doing that on Sunday. And then on Sunday evening, I'm doing a panel with a group of people around young adult fiction and ensembles, or groups of people in YA literature. And that's quite an interesting subject, I think, and looking at the way in which groups, very often, in not just in writing, but in all forms of art, when you see young adults in fiction, they come together as a group. And it's interesting to see the dynamics and to see the potential from that.
And at the end, what podcasts do you recommend to science fiction and fantasy fans?
So for writers, I'd say The Creative Pen, which is run by a lady called Joanna Penn. It's very good. There is also, if you want to consume some stuff, if you want to listen to some stuff, there's Pseudopod and Podcastle, and there's a horror one, a fantasy one, and a science fiction one, and I can't remember the science fiction one, which is really embarrassing.
Escape Pod,
that's it. So those three are really good fun. But I think my advice to people would be go and have a look around. There's lots of interesting podcasts out there, depending on what you want. Just try a few out, download one or two of them, and just check them out and see if you enjoy them.
Thank you for this agreeable discussion.
You're very welcome, Darius. Thank you for having me.